Well, God bless you all. I sure miss so many of you that I had the joy of being with it while I was in San Diego. And, oh, what a glimpse of the gathering together it was to see so many of the saints. And, you know, as I was leaving San Diego, driving out, we took the time to drive down to the shore to just to look at the ocean. And I was reminded of a verse in Romans 11. It's verse 33, one of my very favorite verses in the Word, and it says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And as I stood there and looked at the water, I thought about, you know, just the beauty and the expansive presence of so much water of the Pacific Ocean. And there, you know, there we stood looking at this, just probably the teeniest portion of the ocean compared to all that God has created. And I enjoyed standing there, and I'm sure that many of you have enjoyed standing on the shore, looking at a sunset or watching the waves roll in, and it's very difficult not to think about how great God is when you look at the ocean. And it's almost a mesmerizing activity. And then you could go a little further and put on a bathing suit and a snorkel and go down below the surface and look at the schools of fish or collect shells or whatever you can see at that depth that a snorkel would allow you to go. Or you could get even more involved and you could put on a scuba suit and a tank and go way below the surface and see some of the fish and other sea animals that live further down in the depths of the ocean. Or you could even get into a submarine and live below the surface for a period of time. It's a matter of how deep you want to go in the ocean. And that's also true about the Word. It's a matter of how deep we want to go. And that's even true with relationships with one another. We can choose to have surface relationships, and that's certainly nothing wrong with that, but oh my goodness, what satisfaction and joy comes from going below the surface when we really get to know each other, get to know God, get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The further down we go, the richer it gets. And what I want to look at tonight is something that is so very basic. It's almost like looking at the surface of the ocean and thinking, wow, that's a lot of water. Well, that's true, but we know that there's so much beneath the surface. And that is the simple act of reading God's Word. And it's something that has gone on for centuries, for millennia, really, reading. And that is how our understanding of the Word comes to be. And so I'd like to take a look at this in the Word, because God has made it very clear that reading is an essential part of getting to know Him and know His Word. Now, back in the Old Testament, they didn't have 12 different versions of the Bible in their homes, and they could just go grab one off the shelf and sit under a tree and read the Word. We have that luxury, but the people then didn't have that luxury. But what they did have was someone to read the Word to them, to read the scrolls to them. So let's look at an example of this in Exodus chapter 24. here in Exodus 24, let's see, I'll get there. In Exodus 24, it says in verse 7, and he, Moses, took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient. Now, we know that that isn't quite the way things went, but once Moses read to them, then they became aware of what it was that God expected of them. They were not in the dark regarding God's expectations because Moses had read to them the covenant that God had made. Now, if you flip over to Nehemiah, there's another example of this. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, we read in verse 1, it says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And if you ever want to do an interesting word study, do a word study on that phrase, as one man. It'll bless you. But so they gathered together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and all those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Messiah, on his right hand and on the left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Melchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana and Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. They had a reverence for these words because these were the words of God. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 8, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So here the people didn't have the opportunity to read the word for themselves, but they were there from morning until midday so that Ezra could read the word to them, and not only read the word, but give them understanding of what these words of God were, because they were God's people, and the covenant that God made applied to them. So it was important for them to hear these words. So they were not reading themselves, but they were attentive to the words as they were being read to them. Now let's go to the New Testament. We'll start in the Gospels. Because there are various records in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus Christ will ask, well, when you read, and we'll start in, let's see, Matthew chapter 12. So in Matthew chapter 12, the Lord is having a discussion here, and we'll start in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, And his disciples were and hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now, how would the disciples have known this? Because they would have heard the word read in the temple regarding the law. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was himself, when he was in hunger, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. So here Jesus Christ is holding the Pharisees responsible for the word that they had read. Obviously, it's something that he expected that they would have done. It doesn't occur that he asked the people, the general people, have you not read? Because it was not available for them to have their own version of the scroll. They would be present when the word was read by the scribes or the Pharisees or the chief priests. And if you look at other occurrences of this phrase, have you read, or even just look up the word for read, which is anagenosko, you'll find that all of the references that the Lord made to reading of the word was directed at either the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, or to someone who would be reading in the future. So how does that change for us? How did things change when we became children of God, when Jesus Christ fulfilled what he came to do and was taken up? Did it change for us so that reading of the scriptures is something that we have to go and hear from the chief priests or the scribes or the leaders of the church? Or is that something that is now available to us as sons of God that was never available before? And the answer is, it is available to us now. The epistles that were written by Paul were letters that were circulated throughout the churches in Asia so that the people there could hear the word. And the people who were in charge of their fellowships, so to speak, would read the words of the epistles that Paul had written so that the people would be aware of what it was that God had revealed to Paul. And they would know how they were to proceed in living this life as sons of God. And in Ephesians, in chapter 2, I want to show you something here that's pretty astounding when it comes to something as simple as reading. Toward the end of chapter 2, it's talking about what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And in verse 15, it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which are far off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, in that little section of that epistle, he lays out what Jesus Christ had done. And imagine you being one of the first century Christians, and this is the first time you had ever heard such a thing. But you hear this epistle read when you go to fellowship, and you start to put together what it means to have this ability to speak in tongues and this ability to hear from God. And you hear that God has made this new building that is neither Jew nor Gentile, but one body. And then continuing in chapter 3, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. How do we get an understanding of these deep things of God? How do we get to the place where we perceive with our minds to understand the deep things of God, and have those rivers of understanding flowing together? It's when we read. And I know we live in a society right now where it's so popular to stream and to listen to teachings and to watch videos, but there is something that happens neurologically in our brains when we read. And if it weren't important, I don't think God would have made it a point to say, when you read, you will understand the mysteries of Christ. So I wanted to share that because sometimes reading is considered pretty basic, you know? But so is standing and looking at the ocean, or when you fly over it, you look at the water and you're amazed at the vastness of the ocean. But when you go deeper, when you read the word and allow those rivers of understanding to flow together as you read section upon section of the word and allow God to cause those rivers of understanding to flow, the depth of the understanding of the word that you will get is beyond compare. It's something that comes, as the word says, when ye read. So, thank you. God bless you guys.